Job chapter 9, verse 2. In Job chapter 9, verse 2, Job asked a big question: who is righteous? Who is righteous? And Paul answers this hundreds of years later in his description of Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith. Abraham is considered the first Jew. And Abraham puts in order the Jewish palette of what a Jewish man should do. Now get this, God speaks to Abraham in chapter 15 of Genesis, but he does not give him the sign of being righteous until 14 years later. And the sign of righteousness is circumcision. So God speaks to him and calls him righteous 14 years prior to, but doesn't give him the sign of righteousness of 14 years later. Aren't you glad that God sees more in us from the beginning than we see in ourselves? Yeah, we'll deal with that. We'll deal with that. We'll deal with it. So we're going to deal with four C's today, four C's, and I'm going to go ahead and give them to you, then we'll walk down from it. First thing is, the faith of a father is conceived. The faith of the father is convinced. The faith of a father is constant. And finally, the faith of the father is confessed. It is conceived, it is convinced, it is constant, and it is confessed. Now, here's the glory once again. The glory of this is that we know that Abraham didn't do everything right, but God did not discredit him. God still saw something in Abraham's life because there was a plan and purpose. And if God has a plan and purpose for Abraham's life, you've got to know that God still has a plan for your life. No matter what our past has been, the mistakes that we have made, even the mistake we made last night, God still has a plan for us. The faith of a father. You walk with me this morning. All right, here's the first thing. The faith of a father is faith that is conceived. Here in Romans chapter 4, the beginning verses 1 through 3 says it like this: what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. Verse 3, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You all see all that could be unpacked in those three verses. We don't have time to go through all of it. But the thought here is that faith that is conceived. Faith conceived is faith that is believed because of its source, because of its authority, who said it. Because we have faith in God, we can believe whatever God has said. Now, y'all get that. I got to walk with it because we know the story of Abraham's life. God speaks to Abraham there in Genesis 15 and tells him that your inheritance is as many stars as you see in the sky, as much sand as you can count on the seashore. That's how vast your inheritance is going to be. There's a problem. Abraham didn't have a man child. So how could all this be made possible? He didn't have a child, but we see that Abraham still believed because of who it is that conceived the idea. Because later on in Abraham's life, you know that he and his wife, Sarai, they got together, they came forth of a child. So there was some belief system there. The faith that we have is not conceived because we want it to happen. Faith is conceived because we believe the source. And if we ever find ourselves living in 2020 and we don't believe the source, the authority of the voice that's speaking, our faith will never grow. It will never mature. We've got to believe the source. That's the only reason why Abraham could do what he did, because it was conceived not from his thoughts, but it was conceived from the very word of God. That's saying a whole lot to us this morning. That whatever God is going to reveal, has revealed to us, or is going to reveal to us, it comes authentically from authority. And so it's now our choice. We have to choose to believe what God has conceived, the seed that has been planted in us, is going to happen. We may not be able to see it right now, but faith says that I can see it, although it hasn't manifested yet. I believe the source. I have to ask a question. Do you believe the source this morning? Do you believe the source? Because sometimes we get so caught up in what we can see and what we are seeing with our eyes. It's not the fulfillment of faith. We are seeing people do all kinds of things, say all kinds of stuff. But what is the word of God? What does the source say about the matter? Every social issue that you may see today, the scriptures has an answer for it. The scriptures may not say specifically what to do about this specific thing, but the context of how our behaviors are supposed to be changed is rendered to us in the text. What does the authority say? The faith of the Father is faith that is conceived, that I know that I don't understand all that God is doing, but I believe what God has said. So I have to ask you the question, do you believe what God has said? What he has said generally through the course of the scriptures, what he has said specifically for your life, are you in the place where you're going to believe God's word no matter what? Faith that is conceived from the mouth of God, faith that is conceived from the mouth of God is faith that is completed in humanity. Faith that is conceived through God's mouth is completed through humanity. You say, Mac, where are you going with that? No problem, I have an answer for you. Look at Hebrews 7:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is conceived, given by God. It is completed when we walk it out. Yeah. Now here's a task for us. Are we willing to walk this faith thing out? Some of us have faith in faith versus faith in God. We have faith in what we believe faith is supposed to produce, and not really living out our faith in God, because God may not respond how we want him to respond. So it's not about him doing it the way we want him to do it. We have to do it the way God wants it to happen. Faith of the Father is faith that is conceived, and conceived faith is faith that is believed. Because we believe in the authority of God's word. Is that making sense for us? All right. So tell somebody around you, walk out your faith. Encourage somebody else, tell them to walk out your faith. It cannot just be something we talk about. It's something we got to be about at all times. So walk out our faith. Next, not only is faith conceived, faith is convinced. Look at verse number 4. It says, now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Here's what David said: blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. You ought to underline that in your Bible if you don't mind. Whose sins never count against them. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstance was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? Was it not after, but before? And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised. Wow. In order that the righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith of our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. It was, verse 13, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise, but he promised that he would, who depend on the law, are heirs. Faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless because the law brings wrath, and there is no law there. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. We had to read all that. had to put it out there because faith of the Father is faith that is convinced. Abraham, just like you and I must be convinced, we must be settled in the faith we have in God. One of the things that we rationalize, and some people rationalize, is that how can, is this for the sinner and the saint? Right? And we make a lot of issue between the sinner and the saint, as if to say, this faith in God's salvation is only for those that consider themselves saints. If that is the question, what would be the point of Jesus coming? Because the Jews thought they were the chosen ones, and there was no room for the Gentiles whom were uncircumcised. Paul says to us clearly, describing the life of Abraham, that Abraham was credited righteousness long before circumcision. If circumcision was the answer, Abraham missed it. So for those of our brothers and sisters that put all their credence in Abraham being the father of faith, Abraham being the father, the patriarch of all of faith, if Abraham missed it because he was uncircumcised, then you have to have a problem with Abraham. And so Paul says it's not about Abraham being circumcised. It's about Abraham accepting what God said. I hope you get that. Because some of us, we want to cancel some people out because they don't get it the way we think they ought to have it. The scripture says that it was credited to Abraham before he was circumcised. It was 14 years between God speaking and Abraham having the seal of being the father of faith before circumcision. So his salvation was not in circumcision. His salvation was in having faith in God's word. Oh, yeah. Some of us act like we are on a performance track. And this performance track, you know how you go to school, when you get to high school, you get to speak, you have a meeting with your counselor, and the counselor, you tell the counselor what you want to do eventually, and they put you on a track to take the right classes, right? And so some of us are on a performance track. We feel as if we do this, we do that, we help this person, we come out and we walk, we march about this, it looks like we're doing the right systematic process of having the track of righteousness. Because everybody sees what they're doing, and like, that's good stuff. Well, you're doing good stuff. But a performance track has nothing to do with faith. Because if anybody had a track record of performances, Abraham did. And his track record meant nothing to God when it came to him having faith. His faith was in him because he believed in God's word. And God said to him, I'm going to make you an heir. Now listen, if we had time, I thought about titling this sermon, How to Love an Idiot. I thought about titling it, How to Love an Idiot. But I knew my wife would be like, really? So I didn't want to have that conversation. So I decided not to go with How to Love an Idiot. Because at the end of the day, men, if we were honest, all of us, in the most respectful way, even respect toward Abraham, we're idiots. We have some idiotic tendencies. And there's some faces looking at me kind of weird this morning. I can see it already. Put your guns down. Put your guns down. Because if we use Abraham's life as an example, just as faithful as Abraham was also an idiot. An idiot is someone that doesn't think it through. It's almost like they parallel idiocy with being a dummy, because dumb means dull in thought. You say, well, Mac, now you just said Abraham was faithful. He was faithful, but Abraham had some ways that were against God. And even through his ways against God, God still credited him righteous. Isn't that something? So think about this. God tells Abraham to leave his father and all of his father's belongings. What did Abraham do? He took his nephew Lot. It's like, come on, man, God's giving you an opportunity, but you keep going trying to do it your way. God tells Abraham, I'm going to make you an heir. And what does he do? He listens to his wife, and he goes to makes his bedroom open for another woman. Come on, man, God got a plan for you. Why are you going against the plan to help it make sense to you? Faith, faith, faith with God. We can't be so upset at Abraham. Now look at our own lives As men, we've had some idiotic moments. We've heard clearly from God. God spoke to us, and we still did some things our own way. But again, aren't you glad that God credited Abraham righteous? He has credited us righteous long before we get it right with him. He wants us to own him as our Abba Father. Faith of the Father is faith that is convinced. Abraham became convinced of this because he walks this thing out completely. Wow. We've got to come to the place. Read Genesis 15, as I said earlier. Read Genesis 15, because it's there that it testifies to the fact that Abraham was willing to believe. Everybody say believe. Believe. Believe in the Hebrew context is the idea and the thought of that you lean on something. You lean on it. It's a thought of being willing to put your whole weight on something. So imagine me putting my whole weight on this podium. That if I do it, that means I believe this metal and this glass is going to stand with all of this pressure on it. You see, if you are convinced of something, that means you believe that you can lean on it. And Solomon says to us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not. Don't put your weight on. You all understand it, but he says, lean on God's word. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Lean on God's word. Abraham believed. So he ultimately leaned his weight on what God said. The problem with a lot of us as Christians here in America is that we lean on the wrong stuff. We have the idea that what we can lean on is the fact that we just keep putting our logo out there. We just do more in social media. No. We're talking about living our faith decision out, not looking good for the culture, but living this faith out. What are you leaning on today? A lot of us are leaning on a lot of books to gain information. And we're not leaning on the book that's sustainable, that stands forever. What are you leaning on? You cannot lean on love. You cannot lean on I like somebody a whole lot. You got to be willing to lean on what you are convinced of. I believe God, and I believe what God has to say about the matter. Ask somebody around you, who are you leaning on? Ask them, what are you leaning on? If you are a Christian and you haven't read your Bible until this morning, you're not leaning on God's word. You're not leaning on him. We've got to lean on God's word that has been breathed upon. And Abraham was convinced. He believed what God said. Now listen, y'all. He believed it. But he also had to put some actions behind it. The scriptures goes on to say that Abraham says to God, listen, I hear what you're saying, but I'm old. And my wife is old too. So believing God says that I've got to put some actions, not only with my faith, not only with my heart, but with my body. You got to lean into this thing. Some of us, again, are leaning on the wrong understanding. Abraham could have settled with himself, well, maybe God's going to do it through Ishmael. And God said, that's not the vein that your inheritance is going to grow in. So that means Abraham had to put his thoughts about his deficiencies to the side and lean on God's word. Boy, if we had time, we were chatting about this for a little while this morning, because a lot of us have talked ourselves out of what God has said because we don't see it. A lot of us have limited ourselves on what God is able to do because we can't see it happening. Well, God, I hear what you're saying, but you don't know. It's some mean people out here. Listen, God knows, but what God has said has nothing to do with what other people are doing. You have to be convinced of what God has said for your life. And you can't call the preacher. Preacher, can you convince me one more time? I can't convince you. If you don't believe God's word, nothing I say is going to convince you to do what God has said do. You've got to be convinced that God's scripture is the anchor for us, and this is the source by which we live. I don't care how many books you read. God's word is the source. Everybody's talking about reconciliation. You don't have to work towards reconciliation. It's already been satisfied through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's in the word. Now, you got to put some work in it to work it out, to figure out how to make it work. Abraham had to figure out how is this boy going to come? But it was already satisfied. Why? Because God had already spoken it. So if we don't believe what God has to say, we're going to always look for an answer from somewhere else. And I challenge us to believe today that what God has said, we have to be convinced about the truth of the scriptures, not convinced about the truth what other movements are saying. God has spoken. You can say amen or not. It's still done. People used to say, well, God said it, and I believe it. You don't have to believe it. He already said it. He's not waiting on your approval for it to be so. It's already done. But are we, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the 21st century, are we convinced? Do we believe? Will we put our weight on his word? Or are we leaning for some other understandings? The faith of the Father is faith that is convinced. If you don't mind, ask somebody, are you convinced about what God has said? And if they say yes, tell them, why are you acting like that? Tell them, ask them, why are you responding like that? If you're convinced what God has said, why are you responding to life like that? And if you are saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, all of that good stuff, our responses have got to be different, because we are convinced on what God has already finished in the work of Jesus Christ. All right. We got to go on. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says this: therefore, the promise comes, everybody say, by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed. Everybody say, guaranteed. To all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being the things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened, everybody say strengthened, by his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Listen, y'all, not only is faith conceived, not only is faith convinced, but faith is also constant. Faith is constant. The idea here is that our faith has to be consistent. It must sustain us through the process of us seeing our faith manifested whatever God said he was going to do. And so Abraham's process, you all, look, he said, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed. This is what we have when the source speaks. We have a guarantee. So guarantee is the idea. When you think about this whole process of credited, this is a monetary thing. This is an accounts payable thought that we see here. So the guarantee is the idea that the funds are already there. So no matter the deficit, no matter what the cost is going to be, the funds are already there to zero the balance out. Did y'all get that? Did you get that? It's no matter the debt of the sin, the guarantee is already there. It's done. Did y'all hear me? Did you hear me out there in TV land? It's done. No matter the debt of the sin, It has been paid for, guaranteed, because of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says to Abraham, he says, therefore, the promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring. It blows my mind why some Christians still walk around as if we've been sucking on lemons and we took a bath in persimmons and all that kind of stuff. We look all dreary and droopy-eyed. Why would we look like that? We are the offspring of Abraham. It has already been credited to us as righteousness. Although we didn't do anything for it, we don't deserve it. It has been given to us by God. And if you don't mind, that's a good reason to wave your hand or tell the Lord thank you this morning, that in the midst of my sins, God has already paid the price and the cost for the depth of my transgressions. It has been credited to us as righteousness. Wow. So it goes on to say, look at verse number 17. And it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. God, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. So, y'all, there's a whole lot we got to say right here. But get this. Abraham believed God. And because Abraham believed God, although he was old and Sarai was dried up, although he couldn't hit the target, although the target kept on moving in Sarai, he believed God. And he did whatever he had to do because of the source, the authority that spoke to him. He believed God's word over his personal circumstances. Yo, I know it's a challenge for us. I know we live in 2020. It's a whole lot going on, but the faith still got to be on the table. You got to be willing to believe God over your circumstances. You got to be willing to believe God over all the odds that are stacked against you. And there are odds against all of us, some of us more than others. You got to believe God's word over all of that. You've got to be convinced. You've got to be sustained and constant in knowing that whatever God has said, it shall come to pass. And we can't have a party every day to remind you what God says. You got to have God's word in your heart. You've got to remember what God says when people come against you and people lie on all this kind of stuff. You've got to hear God's word over all that foolish talk, because we're leaning on our belief in what God has said. When I see people, they're trying to respond in an idiotic way, or they're trying to respond out of their flesh, I tell them, if you're a believer, you're leaning the wrong way. Switch legs. You're leaning the wrong way. You're trying to fuss and cuss at people. You're trying to run folks over. You're trying to get on social media and put your thoughts out there. And it has nothing to do with the evidence of Scripture. You're leaning the wrong direction. Let the world do. The world going to do what they always been doing. But as believers, we lean on God's word. We are convinced on the consistency of the Scriptures. The sustainability of the Scriptures. And that's what we lean on. And here Abraham is. He's old, his wife is old, but he believed God. Yeah. I don't care what you have going on. Listen, I don't care what you have going on. I don't care what the odds are against you. You have the responsibility and the chance to believe God's word over all that stuff. Yeah. And if you don't believe God's word, don't get mad at everybody else. You've got to hold on to what you know God said for you. You've got to be constant, consistent on that. You've got to be sustained through the truth of God's word. We got to go, but it says this. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations. Go back. Listen. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed. There was nothing happening in Abraham's life that would make him think that what God said was going to happen. Against all hope, he's old. His wife is old, but he's supposed to have a baby. Y'all, I know this is bad things, but that don't make no sense. For God to say that your life is depending upon your inheritance, but you have nothing to give you inheritance, But you're supposed to be moving and acting as if it's already done because you have been credited righteous? Against all hope, against all common sense, you're supposed to be following this. How? That don't make any good sense, does it? But when you believe in the voice of the authority, can I be personal for a moment? When we started, we organized this church here, y'all, it was against all common sense. It was against all hope. It didn't make any sense. Out of all the places in America, in Texas, where I could have started a church, why would I come to Midlothian, Texas? It didn't make any sense. We didn't have any money, didn't know where we were going to meet, but it was not incumbent upon what I thought about what God said. See, we're trying to rationalize what God said. We want to make what God says make sense to our present circumstance. And every time we try to rationalize God's word to make sense to what we see right now, we're going to miss the moment. Against all hope. It doesn't make sense for you to keep your eyes on them for your wife. Against all hope, because the culture says you can have as many as you want. Against all hope, Abraham, look at it, I'm not going to make up nothing. Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said. The challenge for us today, my friends, is for us to recognize that this same guarantee that was given to Abraham has also been given to us as his offspring. Because this being credited righteous had nothing to do with Abraham's performance. It has only to do with what God has said for his life. We're in this performance-driven culture, and we think if I get this right, okay, then if I get this one right, if I do this, no. Your performance is out the door because there's nothing that you can do to satisfy the debt of your sins. Our performances don't mean anything, but we have been credited righteous because of the love of God. Yeah. Woo! Yeah, we'll talk about this more this week. I got to move on. One last thing. Look at verse number 22. Verse 22 says this so well. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Look at verse 23. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also, everybody say, for us. All right. To whom God will credit righteousness. Everybody say it again, for us. Who believe in him who raised Christ, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Here's verse 25. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. I'm going to read that again. Y'all, I'll read it again. It's just so good. It just feels good reading the scriptures, right? So here we go. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So y'all listen. The faith of a father, it is conceived, meaning it's believed, it's, you can lean on it. It is convinced, you believe in God's word. It is constant, that it has been guaranteed. And finally, the faith of the Father, faith that is confessed. Confessed. At the end of the day, God wanted us to see that if he was faithful to Abraham and all that Abraham got going on, it was credited to him righteousness. And because since we are the heirs, we're part of Abraham's seed, it is our understanding today that all of this happened from Abraham through Jesus Christ for us. For us. God used this life of Abraham. God used Paul to testify about Abraham's life for us to understand that God credited Abraham righteousness so that we will be made righteous. It happened as a process, a systematic system on purpose. Because some people think, we hold the fact that if Christ hadn't come, then justification and sanctification would not be there. Walk with me for a minute. Christ did not come, according to Matthew 5:17, to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law, because we could not get it through Abraham. Because Abraham had some faults. He was an idiot, right? In the most respectful way. He was an idiot according to some things. But since Abraham couldn't get it right by displaying his faith, no matter the circumstance, then Christ had to come on the scene to become the ultimate sacrifice, not just for the Jews, but for the entire world. Christ had to come to satisfy the debt, not just for the Jewish man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, the Gentiles, Samaritans, all that, everybody, whosoever's in the world, can't believe and not and have an eternal life. It had to be done. Abraham did what Abraham could do. Now Paul says, I got to take it a step further. It wasn't just for the Jewish men. It wasn't just for this select crew. But what Paul does to get the attention of the Jewish people, he says to them that what Abraham went through, he did it before he was circumcised. Now, y'all, this gains the attention of those that want to just lean on Abraham, because Abraham was only, it wasn't completed before he was after he was circumcised. Abraham was credited as righteous 14 years before the sign of being circumcised. And so Paul says, to close this thing out, he says, the words, it was credited to him, were written not only for him, but for us. Y'all, this is the confession that we've got to be willing to make. That all that God allowed to happen before Jesus Christ was so that we could recognize that man in and of himself could not satisfy the debt of sin. But because of Jesus Christ, it all has been done for us. And if man is not willing to confess his need for Christ, then he will not be able to walk out the joy of the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. Our faith must be on display, and it is charged up because we own the fact that we could not do it by ourselves. This is something that we confess as a habitual habit, that it's done. It was credited to us righteous. It was done for us. Look at the text. For us who believed in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. So listen, as wonderful as Abraham was, it wasn't satisfied with Abraham. As grand as it was to have Abraham walk this out to believe God and to still have a baby, although he was dead, his wife was dead, how wonderful it is, it wasn't satisfied through Abraham because Abraham still made some mistakes. But anybody this morning in TV land thankful for Jesus Christ? Because Christ completed what Abraham could not do. Christ came and satisfied what Abraham could not satisfy. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered out over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Listen, my friends, it's because of our faith in God, that we can walk this whole salvific journey, that we have now been justified because of our faith in God. And our faith in God says that we believe, we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Through the evidence of him being raised from the dead, we believe God. So for fathers and for mothers, for our brothers and our sisters on today, you have been challenged to declare that you believe God. You thank God for the evidence of faith being lived out in Abraham's life. Evidence of faith being lived out in other men and women's life around you. But the true evidence is that we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is in this resurrection that we confess. It is in this resurrection that we are convinced. It's in this resurrection that the idea has been conceived that we believe Jesus Christ. Faith on display. Abraham shows us. Abraham shows us how to start this journey, how to walk out this journey, and yet Jesus shows us how to complete the journey. The text says, finally, for us, who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Listen, y'all, Christ did all that Christ needed to do to win and to guarantee a spot for us. So it doesn't matter how far we have fallen. God's grace is still sufficient. And the love that he has for you as his son and as his daughter is enough love to put us back into place for this whole idea of justification. Because there's nothing that we could do to justify our actions. We have people that are doing all kinds of evil things today. And they own that they are wrong, but then they try to justify wrongness. Y'all, it's impossible to adequately justify being wrong. So not only do we own the fact that Christ had to die for our sins, but we also own the fact that there is nothing that we could say to justify our previous actions. But here it is. Thanks be unto God for the indescribable gift of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, that because we have accepted Christ, we have now been justified. The word out against us may be true, but the justification of our salvific walk speaks up for us, that we can't speak for ourselves because we all are sinned, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But because of the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have been justified. We have been credited. It has been guaranteed that although we continually fall short, God, the blood of Jesus, is still flowing from Calvary all the way to Midlothian. The blood of Jesus is still at work even right now with all that we have going on around us, with this pandemic, spiritual pandemic, with this social pandemic, with this medical pandemic. Jesus is still the answer, and it has been credited to us as righteousness for those who believe. Do you believe today? Have you decided to put all of your trust, to lean, to believe in God's word? That's the challenge, everybody. That's the challenge that you've got to answer for yourself. Whose word are you going to believe? And I charge you to believe God's word. It's not comfortable all the time. It doesn't feel good all the time. But it is sustainable. We choose God.